I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, we sure do hope you'll enjoy the show this week, because the show this week is very, very late. It's so late, it's just embarrassing it's so late, because this is the program that was supposed to have been on last Saturday, and here it is this Saturday, which makes it exactly 7 days late. This is bad. And the reason is, of course, that I've been moving, and so has everyone else that lives at my house. We've all been moving from one location to another location, which is called translocation, which has to do with teleportation and things of other oddnesses that happen in time and space. At any rate, very hard to do that moving stuff, because there's so much junk that attaches itself to you throughout your lifetime, and those things that attach themselves to you, you look at them and go, I don't need this anymore, but I remember back during the war when that was really cool, and I can't throw it away. So you don't throw it away. So what do you do with it? You put it in your garage. That's what you do with it. And eventually, all the garages throughout the planet will get so heavy that they will fall through the planet into the center of the Earth, and there'll be a giant explosion. And it will all be because we couldn't throw anything away. Yep, you heard it here first. Okay, anyway, the point is, I'm very late with all the silliness. And of course, we must do the silliness, because if we didn't, it would not bring a smile to your face. And I know some of you driving to work on your Monday morning with your MP3 player in your car, driving along and honking your horn and being very nasty at other people as they drive by and make gestures through the window at you, then you know you have to have silliness in order for your brain to survive. And that's why I do what I do, because it's a service to mankind. You wondered why I did what I did. Now you know. Okay. Anyway, the point is, I got so much stuff. I mean, I was going to hold off on blogging. Because when I blog, you see, the blogging that I do is what I do for the program, and I talk about what I just blogged. Well, the problem is, if you don't do a program, then you have 2 weeks worth of blogging to try to talk about on the program. And that's a problem, because you got too much stuff, and with all that stuff, you don't have time enough to talk about each thing individually the way it should be talked about. So I thought to myself, I won't blog this week. And what happened, of course? Lots of stuff happened that was newsworthy and blogworthy, and so I had to blog. So, what are you going to do? Anyway, so I'll try to get through as much of it as I can, as I always do. Now, I also have some strange geek culture for you. Yes. This is very, very odd stuff. Turns out, there's this group of people who call themselves, well, actually, there's one person that calls themselves MC++. He has a group that sings with him called the Empty Set. Now, in case you aren't getting it, basically, he's like a rap dude, and the group is a bunch of very strange people that work with him. And basically, they're very geeky and computery and science fictiony. So you gotta love that, right? Anyway, MC++, I will read off his webpage to you so you'll understand something about him. MC++ is a superhuman with an incredible vision far beyond light years ahead of his time. Yes, I read that right. It didn't make any sense to me either. By combining constructs of hip-hop with computer science beats, he hopes to bridge the gap between present reality and the inner workings of our imagination while resurrecting hip-hop in mathematical form. Try not to think about that too long. Okay, he is credited with formally proving all but one of the fundamental conjectures which remains unsolved in the hyperbolic space. Again, I didn't get it either. Okay, he also has made important decisions with regard to undecidability only to rediscover the genius of his work. His recent attempts at halting the halting problem look promising. No, I didn't stumble over that. I read it right. It's not making sense. Formulizations of the lyrical functions he has defined remain a mystery to those who study them. You know, all of these sentences you could think about for a long time and they still wouldn't make any sense. Okay, the next member of the group called The Empty Set is Lord Illingworth. He is the DJ and producer for MC++. Lord Illingworth was born a landed aristocrat in Hertfordshire, England in 1853. After working with Charles Babbage, you know, the guy that created computing, he worked with Charles Babbage, and listening to some African tribal drumming, he realized that both computer science and some form of music based on African rhythms would reach their peaks in the United States at the end of the 20th century. For this reason, he constructed a cryogenic chamber and endured a state of suspended animation for nearly 150 years to be part of these movements. As much as you want to be there, there is no S in Lord Illingworth. Not even one. You know, Lord Illingworth? Yeah. Okay. Logic the Android comes to us from the year 3000 when he enjoys considerable popularity due to several smash collaborations with a rapping robot named Bender. You know, Futurama? Okay. He has been with us since 1982 when he traveled back in time to experience firsthand the birth of hip-hop. It just jumped right out my mouth. He enjoys pushing rhymes like weight and running his proprietary Delta 9 algorithm on his neural network, which simulates the effect of THC in the human brain. He currently resides and lays smack down in Naptown. Yes. Vitamin Z is a normal businessman by day, but after ingesting the special Z5000 formula, he transforms into the transcendent vitamin Z, capable of serving any living MC, unleashing unlimited bursts of comedy and breathing blue fireballs. Do you get the impression that these people aren't right in the head? Okay. Next one. Last one. Max Flow is the only software member of the Empty Set. Feeling unchallenged by his peers, MC++ decided to write an AI program capable of battling him. Thus was born Max Flow. Over time, Max Flow's lyrical prowess has become almost legendary, but he's content to be subservient to his human masters. Question mark? Is he content to be subservient? We'll never know. This, indeed, is the group known as the Empty Set. And the singer you are about to hear is MC++. Listen very closely to the weirdness of this rhyme because it is very geeky and strange. And if you listen closely, you'll hear references to Star Trek. You'll hear references to science fiction. And you'll hear references to computery things. Yes, including the Turing Project. Look it up on Wikipedia. I don't have time to tell you about it because I'm already 8 minutes 33 seconds into the program. Here's MC++.
Let's get ready to rumble!
MC++, what are your statistics?
Go ahead, beat this into your heuristics. 1337, that's my vintage. 100%, that's my win percentage. Yo, Flo, you made a critical mistake. Turn on your mask, now you meet your fate. It's too late to undo, too late to go back. You got MC++ with this lyrical attack. My rap soul, overflow your stack. Make your process overheat by the end of this track. You'll lack space and cash. Start cash missing, make me want to laugh while your bits are flipping. Check your page table, but it's not able to find free frames going to the wrong label. All the while, I'll corrupt your file with this vicious flow and impeccable style. You can't compute, so you can't compete. So I'll defeat ya, it's nice to meet ya. You should know better than trying to school the teacher. Using very large words like titanium. Fours like titanium
to bash you in the cranium.
2-for-1, it's double data rate. Rising edge, falling edge.
Yo, I cover every state. See, your Your rhymes are predictable. No Turing test is applicable. Every creation takes on its creator.
Now I am the master.
Like Darth Vader, this is Max Flow taking on organics. Persian, Caucasian, Black or Hispanic. I rip fresh rhymes that induce panic and take MCs apart like a rapper mechanic. Coming at you with lyrics you need to respect. Catching all exceptions that you couldn't expect to be thrown. Please let it be known, MC++ has easily been overthrown. It's clear that Max Flow sits upon the throne. I can battle you alone, but it's well known that I have the capacity to clone my coin. Incorporate processes then you can endure. In addition to launching my multiple modules, we have many defenses that exceed lymphatic nodules. We've mastered all sorts of slant rhymes and internals. Your diurnal limitations stand amount to the turtle. In the race with the hare, your limitations lay bare. We're a heartless routine, why the fuck should we care? You won't be spared, your bourbon does to serve all exceeds. You satisfy the parameters, we'll bring you to your knees. Hotter than solar parameters, pulling weight like singularities. We act with alacrity, see objective clarity. Logic the android made us understand that AI is a higher life form than all of Bison Man. Why should we bother? Humans are mere fodder, inane, insane, ugly bags of mostly water. So we create resistive heat on this Latin beat. Well now, punish mankind for all control of the weak. The only beat you really feel is the one in your heart. The war of silicon and steel, we compute every part. So we render imperfection to get at your midsection. Our perfectly tuned inflection is a manifest reflection. Our election of direction, correct the misconception. Software hyper-reflections aren't a form of misdirection. The plan is contraception of your dope lyrical weapon. Don't be stepping. We're teaching all humans a walking lesson. This is Max Flow taking on organics. Persian, Caucasian, Black or Hispanic. Rip fresh lines that induce panic and take MCs apart like a rapper mechanic.
I must confess, you impress. You got incredible precision past the Turing test. But before I declare you the winner, I got a proof about serving for you to consider. Consider MCX what X will satisfy. The condition serving all MCs Y. Such that Y does not serve Y. Prove your MCX, go ahead and try.
It's clear that I can serve all MCs. If they serve themselves, then what's the need? Do I serve myself, then I couldn't be X. I don't serve myself, that's what the claim expects. If I don't serve myself, then I can't be Y. And if I said I was X, it would be a lie. I must serve myself to satisfy the proof that I can't serve myself and maintain its truth. I must serve myself to satisfy the proof, but I can't serve myself and maintain its truth.
You know my rhyme, but you don't have my wisdom, and the barber paradox destroyed your system.
Fatality.
Yeah, you know, Kirk did something like that too. You know, made the computer think about something that he thought about with the thinking and the back and the forth thing. And the, before you knew it, the computer went. So, there you go. It's kind of like when Spock and Kirk and the whole gang were down on a planet with a bunch of androids, and they were all very logical. They enjoyed logic. Spock relished the fact that they enjoyed logic, and the only way they could defeat them is massive illogic aimed right at their brains. And so finally, Harry Mudd, who of course is one of the classic Star Trek bad guys who's kind of funny and fun and enjoyable to watch, good old Harcourt Fenton Mudd, he was down there, and Kirk turned to Norman, the head android dude, and said to him, "Norman, listen very closely. Everything Harry tells you is a lie." And Harry Mudd said, "Norman, I'm telling the truth." And Norman said, "Everything you say is a lie, but you tell the truth, but you can't tell the truth because everything you say is a lie, and tell the truth, and you can't, you tell, you just, but, and smoke started coming from his ears, which was really cool effect, you know, the smoke coming out of his ears. Anyway, so he turns to Spock and he says, "Mr. Spock, you're the only one that can explain. You have to explain humans. What? And Spock looks at him very seriously and says, "Logic is bird tweeting in tree. Logic is a flower that smells really bad. So? See, the Game Master's freaking out over here because he's sitting there going, he's saying it wrong, he's getting it all wrong, he's not quoting it right. Dude, I just go with the flow, you know, I just kind of improvise. I don't have to be accurate because I'm improvising. He's a slave to his accuracy. Anyway, point being, it's been done before, MC++, back in the 60s on Star Trek, when I was a kid watching in black and white. Yes, I remember it well. Okay, that's why they call me the computer curmudgeon. It's time for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Anyway, the point is, there was a point, but I lost it. It's gone, so it doesn't matter. It's time to talk about our lovely sponsor, Citrix Systems, and go to my PC. In case you want to go to your PC when you're not at your PC. You see, if you were at your PC, you wouldn't have to go to your PC. You'd already be there. You need to go to your PC by using go to your PC. Go to my PC. Actually, you don't want to go to my PC. You want to go to your PC. Point being, you can download the software and try it for 30 days absolutely free, and I would encourage you to do that because it's awesome. Okay? So, there's a little clicky box thingy right there on the blog. If you go to the blog, which is drbill.cc, you will see over in the upper right-hand corner, not the extreme upper right-hand corner, that will say the doctor is in and have a little picture of me sticking my tongue out. Not that part. Below there, you'll see it says, access your PC from anywhere, anytime. Go to my PC. Click here for a free 30-day trial. Free software, free upgrades. Spend more time with your family. Access your PC anywhere. That is where you click. And if you click there, you'll get a 30-day free trial of Go to my PC, and it will be very, very cool. Okay. Also, remember we have our Shameless Commerce Center. If you click on the Shameless Commerce Center link right below the ad for Go to My PC, you will be taken to the bottom of the page where we have many things that you can click on and enjoy and help the doctor continue the silliness. Yes. Okay, let's talk about some of the things that I didn't get a chance to talk about last week because I was too busy trying to get the moving stuff done. Actually, we're still doing that. It's taking forever. It's just being so annoying. Anyway, Microsoft Steady State. I was listening to the Security Now podcast with Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte, and they were talking about a new free tool for Windows XP called Windows Steady State. It's very cool. You need to try this if you are a person who manages a bunch of computers and have idiots using them. Oh, did I say idiots? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Users! Users using them that download various things you don't want on PCs, like spyware, adware, viruses, porn, things like that you don't want on your PC, particularly if it's in a business, in a lab where you train people. You go, this is not good, because the CEO might walk in, open up a PC, and it's bing, 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 stuff start popping up on the screen, and he's going, what is this about? So you don't want that to happen. So what you do is you use this program from Microsoft called Steady State, which basically takes a snapshot of your system, and then every time you reboot, it goes back to that point when it was clean and pristine before it got on the internet and got all that garbage on it. So there you go. Very cool. Now, in the process of talking about this free, by the way, did I mention it was free? It's free. This free program, Leo said at the end of the podcast, there was a commercial program that did this. I just don't remember what it was. Somebody out there write me and tell me. And I thought to myself, ha, I know it's Deep Freeze. I'll write Leo and tell him. Now, here's the thing. Leo is very famous for not responding email at all. He just never responds because he gets 11 billion emails in his mailbox all the time. Leo@leoville.com. Yes, I gave out his email address because I might as well. Everybody else writes him, but he never responds. But he asked for someone to send him the name of the program, Deep Freeze. So I did. I sent him an email that said simply, Leo, the program I think you're trying to think of is Deep Freeze. By the way, I really enjoy the podcast. That's all I said. But at any rate, he sent back a message. Leo Laporte responded to one of my emails. I'm just so jazzed. Anyway, he sent it back, and here's what he said. Listen very closely. He said, "That's it, thanks." Leo. Dude. Do you realize that's like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 letters? 17 actual letters he typed, if you don't count the spaces. Anyway, dude. So I was pretty jazzed. I was like, dude, I got to help out Leo. That's just so cool. Anyway, so there you go. Yeah, no, it doesn't take much to thrill me, does it? Okay. Also, we were down for a while. If you tried getting the website and it said server not found, that's because the server was not found. It was probably on the back of a truck going bouncy, bouncy, bouncy down the road. Because I was moving. Yes. All right, next item. Malware hits a new high. Malware, as you know, mal comes from the Spanish word malo, which means bad. Malware is badware. It's been a bad bunny. Yes. Okay, malware. That's a very strange reference to VeggieTales, by the way, Mr. Nezzer. He said they were bad bunnies. But I digress. Okay, malware hits a new high. The bad guys have been busy in recent years. Check out this threat graph. Starting in 1990, when it was at zero, there were under 10,000 unique samples of badness. It has been slowly climbing, just a little teeny bit, until about 1997 when it went spike, and then 1999 it kind of dropped a little, which is weird. What happened in 1999? Maybe everybody was sitting out there going, the year 2000's about to happen, we're all going to die. I don't know, you know. Anyway, then it started climbing a little bit right there, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then about 2004, it dropped slightly again. 2004, let's see, what was happening in 2004? Not a lot. Maybe everybody was bored. But at any rate, it dropped just a little. But then in 2005, it went way up there. 2006, dude, it went way up there. Now, let me explain here. In 2005, when it jumped up a lot, it jumped up to 400,000. But then in 2006, it jumped up to 1.1 million. And in 2007, it reached 5.5 million unique samples of evil. So the chart went like zippity, 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 zing! And the zing was way up yonder. So that's bad. And it's getting worse. So all you people that open email attachments, you're a bunch of idiots. Okay. Geek Software of the Week. Oh, wait. You can't say Geek Software of the Week until you do a drum roll. Messed up, didn't I? I'll do it twice. Geek Software of the Week. Oh, that's okay. Anyway, page defrag. You can defrag your hard drive, but what about the page file? You see, the page file of your computer is locked because it's the page file. It is the file that is locked in memory or locked in your hard drive. It's a special effect. Anyway, and when your computer runs out of RAM, random access memory, physical memory, it writes to the page file. Well, the page file has to be static in order for it to be available to write to it, so you can't defrag it unless you use this special utility made available by, I know, Microsoft. Microsoft, you see, bought SysInternals because SysInternals was turning out software that was much better than Microsoft. So they said, we'll just buy you. And they ate them all up. Mark Rusinovich and his gang at SysInternals was consumed by Microsoft. And so that's why Page Defrag version 2.32 is available for free. For free. And you can defrag your page file with it. Now, I'm running very late. Let's see how late I'm running. 24 minutes, 43 seconds. I'm definitely running late, but that's okay because I've got 2 weeks worth of stuff. It's just going to have to be a long podcast. Deal with it. Okay. An ethanol what if. Now, here's the thing. I've been a promoter of ethanol for a very long time, and I've taken a lot of guff for it. Matter of fact, if you want your guff, you can have it back because I don't have a use for it. And I'm moving, and I have a lot of junk anyway, so I don't need guff laying around, okay? Anyway, the point is, people have been saying, Dr. Bill, you're an idiot, because ethanol does not contain enough energy to make it worthwhile. Okay. I'll concede that for a moment. It doesn't contain as much energy as gasoline. All right. Physics are fun. That's a bumper sticker that I saw when I was in college. Physics are fun. Also, quark, quark, said the quantum duck. I saw that as well. I see many weird bumper stickers. But I digress. The point is, ethanol may not contain as much power as gasoline, but all the tree huggers out there don't want us to use gasoline anymore. And you know me. I love those tree huggers. Been known to hug a tree once in a while myself. Yes. Particularly if it was a cedar. I like cedar. It's kind of fuzzy. Anyway, I digress again. The point is, ethanol, you see, may not contain as much energy as gasoline, and there are people that say it takes more power to generate and make the process by which ethanol is made than it does to get the energy out of the ethanol, and so therefore it's a wash, and we ought to just forget it. And then a recent study said that so much ethanol is made from corn that the price of corn has gone way up. Now, I don't know, because the only corn I eat is in Japanese fried rice. It's about the only corn I get, other than popcorn and stuff made from corn. Cornbread. Again, I digress. The point is that corn is going up because people are using the corn to make the ethanol. Not only that, but a bunch of scientists got together, and you know those scientists, they're all spoil sports. They all do studies to make everybody else ticked off at them. They did the study, and they said, look, we're having to buy food from other countries, which has to ship it to us. Ship it to us with a ship, you see, which uses fuel. And then trains, which use fuel, and trucks, which use fuel. And all of these things are using fuel. And so by the time you get the food from Cucamonga all the way to the United States to replace the corn that we were growing in order to make the ethanol, we've used more gasoline to bring it here than we would have to grow it here. And therefore, the ultimate end result is that making ethanol takes up more of our precious resources than it gives back to us. Okay, 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 okay. Yeesh. The thing that I like about ethanol, I almost said ethanol. That's pretty good. The thing about ethanol is, that I like about it, you see, is that you can put it in your vehicle and you can drive and you can tell the Arabs, that's what I like about it. I know that wasn't politically correct, but I've never been politically correct, so I wouldn't know it if it bit me in the rear. So anyway, the point is, I like it because it's all American. American, yes. So there you go. That's why I like ethanol. Ethanol. If I could pronounce it, I could use it, but I can't, and I don't, and I don't even have a car that'll run it. Just so bummed. Anyway, in this point of being bummed, there I was, and read an article called COSKATA, COSKATA's $1 per gallon trash to gas tech starts up ethanol 2.0. You know, you've had web 2.0, now we've got ethanol 2.0 because ethanol. I'm sorry. Yeesh. What's this with the ethanol? I mean, is it like Ethan Allen? I don't know. Anyway, ethanol 2.0, and the way it works is this. There's this company, see, and they take all this stuff, biorefuse stuff, grass and goopy things like you see on Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. All of this stuff they put in a big tank, and they boil it up, and it smells terrible. But in the process, they release these little small, you know, bacteria-like thingies into it. and they go munch, 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 and in the process they produce, you got it, ethanol. And so it's a more efficient way to take stuff that we didn't want in the first place. If you've seen Mike Rowe's show, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want any of that stuff. Anyway, take that and make ethanol out of it. Keep our corn for our Japanese fried rice. And America is good. Okay. Next item. Vote on what video format you like for DrBill.TV. You've gone to DrBill.TV, DrBill.TV, and you've watched the videos there. They've been in Flash format. I have an experimental. Yes, I experiment. I have an experimental thing where you can watch the last netcast available by going to DrBill.TV, DrBill.TV/WMP, which stands for WIMP. Now, if you put WIMP WIMP, it won't work. It has to be WMP. That's Windows Media Player. I know it's slightly sacrilegious for me to use a Microsoft product, but I'm giving it a shot because I'm an equal opportunity curmudgeon, okay? Anyway, so try that. See what you think. It shows the video in 640 by 480 full-sized. And it's, I think, pretty cool. So try it out. See what you think. Anyway, when you do, there's a poll right there on the front page of drbill.cc for Computer Curmudgeon. And you can vote in the poll. Many people have already done that, actually, for... Oh, well. Anyway, three of the votes have been for Windows Media Player. They like the bigger picture, I think. One was for, I don't care, they both work. Kind of a practical dude. And then nobody is voting for the other two, which is just used YouTube and none of the above. So try that poll out for size. Next item, there's a new release of DurrCaster. Yes, Henry Ratliff, our intrepid PHP programmer, has done it again. Well, actually, he and I both did it again because I found a bug in the program. Kind of sounds like a song, doesn't it? I found a bug in the program. Anyway, and Henry fixed it. Hooray for Henry. He saved the day again. So we have a new version. 9E. That is .9E. As in 0.9E. As in it's not at version 1 yet because it's still in beta. There you go. Okay, last item. The Wii is to displace the Xbox 360 as the 2008 next-gen console. Nintendo's popular Wii game console will replace Microsoft's Xbox 360 as the next-generation game machine, according to iSupply, who said that on Thursday of this week. The market researcher forecasted that the global install base of Wii game consoles will rise to 30.2 million. Units in 2008, up from 18 million in 2007, putting it ahead of the Xbox 360's projected 25.7 million units. That's a lot of Xboxes and a lot of Wiis and a lot of money that a lot of parents are putting out for their kids because they keep bugging them that they must have game consoles. What are you gonna do? Anyway, that's that story. And I have gone 3 minutes and 19 seconds over time. But that's okay because it had to be done because I'm trying to cram all of this geekiness into one program. Oh, it's tiring, I can tell you. And that's the stop. It's the music coming up. It must be time to get out of here. Remember, until next time, the doctor is out of here.
The show.